Claudia, I have to figure out what I'm going to name this episode because I am focusing on when you said before I hit record, I don't work with people who want to go the KDP route. I work with people who actually want to make money on their book. That as soon as you said that, I was like, I have to make our episode about that. I'm really curious, what did you mean when you said that? Like, what do you mean by that?
Okay, this is 2023. Everybody wants to write a book. Everybody wants to have their name on a volume. They want to be able to hold it up. They want to be able to point somebody to it on the internet. They want to have written. They want to have shared. It's very important in today's world. And if you are in the business world, then you almost have to have a book. It's like a calling card. Everybody wants it. But what are you going to do with that book? That's the thing that people don't think about ahead of time, and they need to because it makes a difference. If you are planning to go the KDP route, if your big goal is to get your book on Amazon, you don't really have to worry about it. As soon as you attach an ISBN to your book, it's on Amazon. You can't stop it. Okay, that's a direct feed. So don't worry about that. It's going to be on Amazon. If that's all you want, you don't need to know a lot. You don't have to have a great book. But if you actually want the book to sell, if you want to make money with it, if you want a lot of people to like it, then it has to be, there has to be more thought to that. And if you're going to go that the KDP route, you don't need me. I'm expensive. I'm old and I'm crotchety and I'm expensive. But if you want a book that's going to sell 35,000 the first year, 35,000 copies, 100,000 copies, whatever, if you want to actually make money with that book, then you have to put a lot more thought into it. And you have to start out by deciding, do I want a public book? Am I looking for that bestseller sticker from Amazon? And that's my big goal. Okay. Then, yeah, maybe you do want to go the KDP route. But if you actually, and that doesn't mean you're going to make any money because bestsellers, they don't make money, they make a sticker. That's what the whole thing is about. That sticker. I got the sticker. Isn't that great? Great. My first book that I ever wrote didn't have a bestseller sticker, but it was a bestseller because it was written so many thousands of years ago.
I might
And it
call that the episode title. Bestsellers don't make money, they make a sticker.
they make a sticker. If you want a book that actually gets your ideas out to the greater public, if you want to make an impact with your book, if you want to sell a lot of books, make some money, then you're writing a purpose book. Okay, KDP and getting that sticker, I call that a public book. I want out there, I want my name out there, I want to be able to call myself an author, I want to feel good about myself. That for that, you want a public book. Okay, you want to go strictly online, and that's going to get you out there, that's going to get you your sticker, and life is going to be good. If you want to do something, if you want money from that book, then you're writing a purpose book. And a purpose book in today's world is not about getting that bestseller sticker, although maybe you will get it. It's about doing something with that book. And in today's explosive landscape, that means, yeah, a program. That means attaching it to something of value beyond the book. That means using the book as an integral part of something more. So most of the authors that I work with who are making, $75,000 a year off of their books, they're taking those books, they're using that book as a marketing device, they're using that book as an integral part of a program that they take into corporations or that they do online or that they take into nonprofit organizations or that they take into schools or that they take into et cetera, and so on and so on. Scooby-Dooby-Doo. You know, your imagination is all the limit. So when you use that book as not just this is all I've got to say, but this is the beginning of what I've got to say. Let's you and I work together. Let me help you get to where you want to go. Well, that makes it a purpose book. And that changes everything because yes, maybe it will get you the sticker that you want, but I'll tell you what else it's also going to get you. It's going to get you tax deductions. Because when that book is used as a marketing tool or an integral part of a program, well, then that becomes advertising. That becomes a piece of your business cost of goods sold. And at that point, you can deduct all of your expenses, including me, in real time. When you put a book on Amazon, you can only deduct the cost of what the book cost you, the physical book cost you, and if it's all POD, that's nothing, against the sales that you've made. So basically, probably paying more in taxes than you're going to make as the author, but you got the sticker, and it's made you feel good, and it's filled your ego, and that's important. Some people just need to be able to do that. There are 8 billion people in this world, and if we don't figure out a way to take up space in the world and say, hey, look at me, I exist, then, you know, what's the point? So if you've got something that you've got to say, and that's what you want, and you want that, it's important for you to be able to say, I have a book, here it is, here's my book, this is the 5th edition of a book, my signature book, I'm in the middle of writing the 6th edition. If you want to just let people know, this is what I have to say, this is where I am right now, this is a timestamp, this is what I think, this is what I feel, this is what I observe. It covers anything: business, religion, politics, health and science, or health and fitness, science, education, anything can be a timestamp. This is what I know right now. This is what I see. This is what I want to share right this very second. Yesterday was different, tomorrow will be different, but right now, this is what I've got to share. Then yeah, you can just write something up, get it well edited, and put it on KDP, or go to a service. Please don't use a service. Don't use a service. Don't use a service. Okay, just don't use a service. But you can if you want to. Just don't tell me about it, because I'll be mad. Or you can, you know, try and get yourself, go in with a hybrid publisher, a legit hybrid publisher, which will help get your book into different places. If you want more, if you actually want to make money, then in today's landscape, you've got to attach it to something. And does that mean it's got to be a business book? No. It could be a health and fitness book. It could even be a memoir, okay? Because if you've got something to say in that memoir, if you've thought about what you're doing, if you've attached a thesis, a theme to that memoir, so the entire book wraps around what you've, you know, the basis of your thesis, the idea you're trying to discuss, what you're trying to get across, then there is your basis for classes or webinars or discussions or groups or subscriptions or whatever, and now you've got a purpose book. And it's tax deductible. And you're helping a lot of people in real time.
I just want to ask you about those categories real quick. So as succinctly as possible, can you just explain the 3 different categories again? You got purpose book, private book, and public book. What are the differences there?
Let's take it from the back. Okay. A private book, and I do a number of them, is something just for the author. The author and his family, the author and her legacy, the author and whatever. They're not thinking about publishing it. They just want to get it done. They want to get it printed. They want to give it to them.
So if I wanted to get my grandpa to write a memoir just because I want to know his life, that'd be like a private book.
That's a private book. Okay. I work with a lot of CIA agents. Don't ask me why. The very, very first CIA agent I ever worked with, his book was not signed off on by Langley, so he could not take it public. But he lived a hell of a life. He wanted a lot of people. He wanted the people to be able to read what he had done. So we did a private book. We put the book together. We did not attach an ISBN. We got it printed. We sent the prints to his house, and he gave away the very last copy. He signed autographed the last copy of his book the day before he died. He was a very, very happy camper. Everybody in his family, everyone in his community, they loved that book because it was him.
Yep,
okay, that's a private book.
Understood.
A public book is what most people go for. Okay. It's getting it up on KDP. It's getting it up on Amazon. It's trying to find a traditional publisher. It's going with a self-publishing service or a guided self-publishing service that will help you get the book done, help you get the book out, help you get it online. And then it's up to you to promote it. Of course, it's always up to the author to promote it. And those authors who don't know anything about promotion, and they just do a bunch of, you know, Facebook ads, ads and LinkedIn ads or what have you, whatnot. They sell maybe 200 copies. They make $200 maybe over the course of the book's life. And then, but they get their if it's categorized right, if you've got the right BISAC subject headings and it's in the right Amazon categories, then you can have a bestseller very easily. That's a public book. It doesn't make a lot of money, but it is very self-fulfilling, and it fulfills the author's dreams and the author's need to express and the author's need to be part of the authorship community. And they can call themselves an author, and they got their sticker, okay? The best-selling sticker. And
something tells me you're not very keen on the idea of doing this type of book.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, understood. I'm a pro. Because why make a book that only 200? Well, like, what's the value in a bestseller sticker if what it really means is that 200 people who you were able to twist their arm into buying your book bought your book?
If you can get that many.
Uh-huh.
If you can get that many. Because people don't understand, you know, everybody's always talking about platforms. I want you to think about that personal platform. Let's say you've got 35,000 Facebook fans. What does 35,000 Facebook fans translate into as far as books sold? 0.5%. What is 0.5% of 35,000? I don't math, but you do.
What is that, 100 and something?
Yeah, maybe 125
books. Isn't that what that? No, 175, maybe. Sorry.
Whatever it is, it's not many.
Man, we're writers, not mathematicians.
You can't eat off of that. You can't, you know, you can't make your car payment off of that. So a public book, while I understand it and I do as much as I can to help every one of my authors go where they want to go, get to where they want to go. And if that's where they want to go, I'll behind them all the way. But
I can't imagine that anybody wants what we're describing here as a public book. I can't imagine that this is what anybody actually wants.
People don't think about it that way. They don't think about it that way. They think, I'm going to do my book. I'm going to see if I can get a traditional publisher. Oh, no, that takes too long. I have to jump through too many hoops. They're going to want to make too many changes. I can just get it up. I can get it on KDP. I can go to iUniverse. I can go to Lulu.com. I can go to BookLocker. I can go to AuthorHouse, et cetera, and so on and so on. And they've got the book done. Now, if they're savvy and they go that route and they actually want to make money with their book, then they're going to buy a whole bunch of books for themselves, and they're going to go out and they're going to speak everywhere and sell those books at the back of the room.
This is how I, by the way, this is how I personally made a living before COVID, was I would buy copies of my own book and go on book tours.
Yes. You have to be careful about that. If you are self-publishing, if you go with the service, if you go with anybody where you are not the publisher of record, then you have to go with their POD process, and those are expensive books. If you self-publish, and I am a self-publisher and have been for a long time, but that's because I know how to play this game. If you go with self-publishing, then you get those books printed, sheet-fed, printed, web-fed, web-sheet printed, and the price of each book goes way down, and so you're actually making money off of each book.
I was able to make money. So I was using my first three print runs were sheet fed, and then mm-hmm. like offset printed, and I made money on those books. I'm a kids book author, so it's a little bit different because the cost is, you know, a little bit higher to make a kids book. Yeah, exactly. Every page is full color, and like the glossier the better, so it makes it more expensive. But offset printing, I was getting hardcovers for like four something, because I was doing, you know, relatively small print runs and then touring with them. And then I personally discovered that, and maybe it's going off a little off topic, but I just personally discovered that I could do print on demand for almost the same cost per book, but I can order smaller quantities of orders and order them as I need them and have them shipped to wherever it is that I'm touring. And yes, they're paperback. That's the biggest downside because I couldn't get the hardcovers down to that price. So I'm just swapping hardcover to paperback. But no, thing. No noticeable difference in sales. My sales numbers, how happy my customers were, completely, there was no change.
Well, because in today's world, people don't even look for hardcovers most of the time. You know, they'll buy what they're seeing you. And the secret is what you were doing. You were doing tours. You were in front of them.
Yep.
And the thing about going in front of people physically is that once they're done listening to you talk for the 20 minutes or whatever time you have, they want to take home a piece of you.
It becomes a memento of their experience with me. Book. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So they want your signature there on the fly. They want to be able to stand there and talk to you for 2, 3, maybe 17 minutes if you can, you know, can't get them to stop talking. They want to take that home. And that's how books have always been sold. It's always been traditionally word of mouth. It's always been the personal experience because a book is a personal experience.
Yep.
Especially children's books. So it doesn't matter if it's hardcover or softcover. They'll buy whatever you've got because you're right there.
And it's a memento of their experience with me. And I think that's what helped make it a positive thing, even though the books wear out much faster than if they were hardcover. Now, if I could, I would do hardcover. It was just an extra layer of challenge that I was like, you know, it became logistically so challenging for me to order large print runs of hardcover books and then ship those to where I'm touring and then go on those tours. It's so much easier to use print on demand. Yes. But
and that's anyways, the value of POP.
Yeah.
That is the value of POP. Otherwise you have to, you know, you have to go offshore, you have to go to Asia to get those hardcover books. That creates so
you're waiting 6 months between the time you place an order and the time you get your books.
It is a global economy, but it doesn't work the way it says it's going to work in movies.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's just go back to the thing we were talking about. Difference between a public book and a purpose
private book.
Book,
the public book, and the purpose book. The purpose book is when you do, when you use that book for a purpose. This book has been in 83 major libraries around the world. It's been used in writing classes, it's been used in publishing classes, it's been translated into Chinese, it's been everywhere. Why? Because I made it so that way. And because when I teach my classes, I use it in my classes. When I do my webinars, I use it in my webinars. That's the whole point of the book, is to get the ideas out there. But I can't just get the ideas out there and expect that people are going to read. It's a pretty long book. That's a pretty healthy book. I can't expect people to just get what I say in that book. It's a nonfiction book, and it's intricate because it's all about the book industry. And the book industry is layers upon layers upon layers upon layers. And it's what people don't know about the book industry that causes them to get ripped off. So my book is about not getting ripped off. So I do webinars about not getting ripped off. And I do webinars about ghostwriting. And I do webinars about perspective, motive, and agenda, which is the basis of all fiction. And I do webinars about musical line editing, which is that special, you know, that bridge between the first draft and the second draft. And I do webinars about all of that. I use my book. My book is both a marketing tool because I give it away a lot. I donate it a lot. And I use it to get myself speaking gigs. I used to before COVID. I used to get myself speaking gigs. If I wanted to do a TED Talk, it would be my entrance fee to getting a TED Talk. You have to have a book to get a TED Talk. Pretty much these days, you want to speak anywhere, you kind of have to have a book. You're going to get more speaking engagements if you have a book. You're going to get into doing, you know, corporate trainings if you have a book. Everything nowadays comes down to having a book. So that makes it a purpose book. And as soon as it does, it makes it tax deductible in real time. And it lets you make as much money as you want, as much money as you are willing to put the time in for. So one of our clients, delightful lady, she didn't want to go. She had no patience for the traditional publishing route because they wanted a book. They liked to book, but they wanted to do much change, too much change on it. She took it to a couple of hybrids. They also wanted her to do too many changes on it because they wanted it to fit within their supply chain parameters, make their distributors and wholesalers happy with it. But she knew who her market was. So we helped her self-publish, and she already knew where her audience was. She already had all of those associations. She already had that real platform, not the millions, you know, the numbers of people on Facebook and LinkedIn, but the actual contact. Yeah, come speak to us. Yeah, we need to know your information. Yeah, we need more of that. Yeah, that. And so that's what she's doing. And every time she takes the book out there, she sells hundreds of copies or dozens of copies, or she takes part of her speaking fee in copies and the rest she takes in cash. You can work anything any way you want if you're thinking of your book as having a purpose. If you're thinking of your book as, I want that bestseller sticker, go for the bestseller sticker. Make yourself happy, but don't think that you can do both at the same time. They are separate concepts. I mean, the one, it's kind of a trickle, a public book, a book that is created for the public, and all you want is that sticker. That's probably not going to be able to repurpose it for big money, unless you come up with a really good program, a good online program, and you can work it that way. Most people don't think that way. They really just want to get the book out. But if you're thinking, I want to make money with this book, then you can do both. You're going to have those programs, and having those programs sells the book, and selling the book sells the program. So it kind of works for each other.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I agree that I think the biggest difference between a public book and a purpose book is literally, I mean, it's in the name, it's the purpose behind the book. If you are trying to, I do think that it is possible to have a purpose book that you do a few smart things to get that bestseller sticker. I mean, I've done that with several of my books.
Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of purpose books that have become bestsellers. Absolutely.
And it is a slight credibility indicator to certain people if they go and check out your book and they see that it's a bestseller, even though those of us on the inside, we kind of know, hey, there's like a 15,000 Amazon categories. And, you know, some of them only, like, the top dogs only selling like a copy a day, right? So it's not like terribly difficult to get a bestseller sticker. It just takes a little bit of effort. But for some, it is a credibility indicator. But you're expanding my mind a little bit, because I've struggled to talk to clients about how to properly think about their book. I've always said, like, it needs to be an asset. It needs to help you produce outcomes for your business. But then there's always been this slight disconnect, because I know how I made money as an author. I toured. How do you talk to people that are like, yeah, I want a purpose book and I want it to help me sell my core product or whatever, but I don't want to do a bunch of speaking engagements?
Well, this is one of the advantages of being a ghostwriter, okay? I understand the business, and you understand that the idea of books that are purpose, public, and private, that's a ghostwriter's idea concept, okay? It's not a public concept. It's a ghostwriter's concept. It's an industry perspective. How do I talk to my clients? First of all, I get this taken care of right at the beginning. What do you want to do with this book? Before we start talking about what you want to put in the book, what do you want the book to do? Where do you want the book to take you? If where you want the book to take you is that bestseller sticker, then we're going to write it one way. If where you want the book to take you is money, and serious money, then let's talk about what you're willing to commit to, what your plan is, because we have to put together not just a book plan, but a business plan in which your book plays an integral part.
Yeah, exactly.
Different mindset. Okay, so I get that nailed before we start writing.
How do you handle people that don't want to do speaking engagements, though?
Then they're
their goal is not public book. Their goal is not private book. They want purpose book. They want book that's going to sell their core product or, you know, help them get clients. But they don't want to do speaking engagements.
Then they're going to have to invest in getting someone to help them put together online programming. Online programs are very, very big these days. Online classes are very, very big.
So like webinars and stuff?
Well, webinars are usually free, but classes are not, and programs are not. You do a webinar, and the webinar feeds your class. It feeds your program. I worked with a client. She actually had the program before she had the published book. And because she had the program and she had it online, and she'd had it online for quite some time, she was able, I got her connected with my agent, and he managed to get her into Penguin Random House. And because of that connection, and because that book was put out from Penguin Random House, and because she already had a program, she could go to other corporations and other industries and say, look what I'm already doing. Wouldn't you like to do this for your corporation? Wouldn't you like to do this for your industry? And her business grew from that perspective. Now, she didn't do any public speaking. She never leaves her house. She don't like to leave her house. She does it all online. And she doesn't do it over and over and over again. She's like Steve Harrison. She records it once. She's got that now. And now she uses the same thing over and over. And in fact, a lot of her programs are simply groups that she has put together in which she has taught the same information, which she has answered the same questions, in which she personally works with each individual within that group for like 4 or 5 weeks. And then she's got the right to use that material. And that becomes a program for people to watch and listen to. And then she's got another group that she's done that's a little bit more complicated and more intricate. And that's another program. And so she's got scales in there, and she never leaves her house, and she's making money hand over foot.
Awesome.
You have to have a little imagination, and you have to have the mindset.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about how your business works and about how you use your book within your business?
Sure. I've been a ghostwriter for a very long time. A number of years ago, I stopped ghostwriting. I just stopped. I got tired of it. Enough is enough. I've done over 250 books. And I've been teaching ghostwriting since the early 2000s. In 2013, we took the program. We were invited to Cal State Long Beach. And so now we have the only academically certified professional designation ghostwriting program. I had to think about it to get all those words out of my mouth in the world.
What's it called?
Called Ghostwriting Professional Designation Program from Cal State Long Beach. Okay. It's the only one in the world. We teach everything. It's a 13 and a half month program. It's a master's level program. You will learn to, well, we don't take anybody that doesn't already know how to write, but you will learn to write better. You will learn the business. You will learn what books are about. You will learn how to create a book. You will learn how to position a book, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You'll learn how to put a business plan behind the book. You'll learn everything. So what we do, because I'm all about the education, is I use my book in the class, because a lot of the material in the book applies to what I'm going to be teaching. And I have a program. It's 70 some odd PowerPoints. And like I say, it's 13 and a half months long. And off of that, I also spin other classes for the public, for people who don't want to be ghostwriters but want to be authors, or people who are already writers and want to be able to make more money as a writer, want to have a better business model for their writing business. So that's how I do that. And when somebody comes to us and they want a book done, we call on one of our grads, and we will mentor them through their first gig. If they come to us, you know, I've got somebody who wants to write a book, and I really, you know, I'd like some help. I'd like some coaching all the way through. We will mentor our grads through their first book. Never takes more than one time. By the time they finish that book, they've got the confidence they need, because they're going to charge decent money. Like I say, our burn-in price is $45,000, because that's what it's worth. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to talk to you about the difference between a public personal and public-private and purpose book. We're going to talk to you about how to position the book. We're going to pull those bisects that we're aiming for right at the beginning, so we know what we're talking about. Because all of those Amazon categories feed off of those bisects, and the bisects are attached to the ASBNs. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand how to make money with your book, okay? So there's just so many ways to make money with a book.
Well, what do you mean by that? If you don't understand that, you don't understand how to make money with your book. And just a slight pushback, I didn't understand any of that when I started. And I was making money with my book.
So you know what you're doing. You learned as you went along. As we all do.
For me, I caught very early on to the idea of like, oh, it needs to be a performance. It needs to be an experience that they want to take a piece home with them. But I didn't understand bisects when I did that.
That's okay. Bisects are relatively new. When my first book, For Musicians Only, came out, and it was a bestseller and I didn't know it, there were no bisects. They didn't exist.
Yeah.
Those came with the digital age. It used to be All American Booksellers Association category. I can't get the word out of my mouth. Classifications. Let's go with that. Because humans, we all need to categorize things, don't we? We like to put things in slots. It's easier to organize. It's easier to figure out how to sell. It's easier to figure out how to get through our lives if we put things in categories. So you don't need to know all of that if you're working with people who do know all of that. If you're working with a professional ghostwriter, if you're working with a hybrid publisher, if you're working with a traditional publisher, even if you're working with KDP, hopefully they're going to help you find the right Amazon categories. And then you can feed off of those for Goodreads and Howl Books and et cetera, and so on and so forth. And Scooby-Doo.
I think the biggest thing that I'm learning from this podcast episode is that I need to do a better job of coaching clients through the business plan of their book, because it's interesting, because people that come to me, they usually already are of the mindset of like, okay, this is going to be an asset for my business. I'm going to integrate it into my sales process, or I'm going to integrate it into this thing. But then so often they get done working with me and I check back in to see how their book is doing, and their book is basically dead and they're not really doing anything with it. And it's very sad for me, because I'm like, I want everything that we create to be successful.
Ah, but let's be real, Timmy. You're looking at online stats. Okay, you might even be looking at book scan stats. But most people who are making money off of purpose books aren't making it through a cash register. They're making it through invoices. They're making it off grid.
Yeah, that's true.
They are selling a lot of books.
That's true.
It doesn't reflect on the online numbers, because online, let's be real, the internet is a giant flea market. You walk up this aisle, you buy something here, you buy something there, you buy something there. They're all one-up sales. One-up sales. When I was selling my book, to colleges, and when I was selling my book around the world to libraries and what have you, you know, there are 120,000 libraries in the United States of America. There are 320,000 libraries across the world. People who don't think that that's a market are just fooling themselves and kind of shooting themselves in the foot. But when I was doing that, it was all on invoice, Nobody knew the book was selling online. Because I didn't worry about it selling online. That's just extra money.
And it was the same for me too. When I first started out, all my books were being sold. Like I was buying printed copies and selling them with one of those. You remember back in the day? This isn't that far back in the day, but where it was like you'd plug in the auxiliary cord into the card processor and you'd swipe the card on your tablet or your phone. That's how I was doing most of my sales.
And those sales would not appear on BookScan.
No.
The only thing that would appear on BookScan would be you buying the books.
Yeah.
And it would be a wholesale buy. It's not a retail buy. Wholesale buys are a different category on BookScan.
Yeah.
So it's not really, see how it works?
I think the other thing I'm learning from this conversation is that authors need to teach from their book if they want to sell their book. I mean, that seems to be something that you do. It's like you've integrated your book into your the education that you're offering to your customers, whether it's the one that they're paying for or whether it's the one that they're getting for free to get a taste of what they could be, you know, learning from you. It's like you have integrated, woven your book into that. So it's like you're teaching from your book. And I think that if an author is not going to make a presentation that's all about their book, they at least still need to have some aspect of their talk or their thing that is coming from their book or highlighting their book or featuring their book. Otherwise, the book just sitting off to the side. It's not doing anything.
It's not doing anything, and it's not going to get you where you want to go. So if you think about all the people who are in Toastmasters, for instance, every single one of those people need a book if they want to actually further their career and not just keep practicing being a speaker, but actually go out and be a speaker. Join a speakers union. Join a booking organization and get booked as a speaker. Having a book to just do this. You know, hold it up from the podium. If you TED Talk, hold it up and wave it here. You don't have to read from it. You don't have to do a reading. You don't have to. You just have to. It validates you. It is your credential. It is the, what do we call these things? Business card. It's the business card of the day.
Yeah.
You have to have that business card.
Agreed.
So if you're not teaching from your book and you just want to be a speaker, you still have to have that book, and your speeches need to come from your presentations need to be associated with what you're talking about in your book. Otherwise, if you're talking about something that's not in your book, you need to write another book.
Yeah, agreed. That's right. Claudia, this has been a really great conversation. I just have two questions before we wrap this up. So my first question for you is, maybe this is a tough question, but I like to ask this to ghostwriters. If somebody was not going to work with you, but they at least did this one thing, their book would be almost as good as if they had work from you. Do you have an answer for that question?
Yes.
What's your answer?
There's a process to doing a book. It's out there a million times. I put it out there. Read my book. It'll help. Learn musical line editing. If you can't learn musical line editing, at the very least, give yourself the advantage of understanding PMA, perspective, motive, and agenda. It's important in memoir, it's important in fiction, and it's even important in nonfiction. Learn perspective, motive, and agenda, because that's the part of your ego that needs to be on the page. Not, ooh, look at how great I am, but here's my perspective, here's my motive, here's my agenda, not that pedantically, but you have to understand what you're trying to get across, and it has to come from your perspective, motive, and agenda.
Awesome.
Did that answer the question?
That's a great question, or great answer. My last question for you is, what is one thing that you suck at that a year from now you want to be great at?
What is it that I suck at?
Could be about writing, or it could be about business.
I am about a life. Really lousy bookkeeper. I am absolutely crappy at handling money, and I run a business.
Yeah.
And I have been doing book payroll for one business or another for decades, and I'm crappy at it. I don't think I'm ever going to be any better. I'm old. I'm crotchety. I don't give a shit anymore. I hire people.
Amazing. Okay, well, it's been so much fun talking to you. Is there anywhere that you'd want to direct the listeners to where you're most active, or what you'd like them to check out? And I'll make sure that I link it in the description.
My company is webbytech.com. You want me to put that in the chat for you?
No, that's okay. I can find it.
Okay. Webbytech.com. GhostwriterTraining.com is the program to which we offer a lot of our classes. We offer all of our ghostwriting classes. The site through which we're going to be offering our author classes. We're going to be authoring. We're going to be presenting a class on algorithm compliance. Really important this day and age. MS Word algorithm compliance, very, 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 very important. Musical line editing, perspective, motive, and agenda. Converting your novel into a novel. We're going to be offering a lot of web classes. Those are all coming up right now. Mostly what we're offering is most Ghostwriting Professional Designation Program and the few author classes that spin off of that.
Awesome. So, Claudia Suzanne Harris, thank you. Webattack.com
and ghostwritertraining.com.
Thank you so much for being a guest on my podcast. This has been a really fun episode.
Thank you, Timmy. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for asking me to be here. I've enjoyed